the time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Good Monday. It's 91 degrees. Heat index is up to 93. Humidity's at 43. The winds are out of south-southwest at 20 miles an hour with some gusts in, getting close to 30, 28, 29 miles an hour. Let's check out some temperatures from our local areas. No wind chill today. Well, man, that's 4 days running on the show. Altus has come in at number one. 95 degrees currently at Altus. Also 95 degrees at Grandfield. 92 at Elk City, according to this, and according to our new handy dandy little temperature thing that Mr. Gabe installed outside, it is 89 degrees here at the studio. Arnett, the home of the famous Lori Campbell, 90 degrees. Camargo's 93, Bessie at 91, Hinton's at 89, Weatherford's at 92, Shamrock and both Wheeler at 91. So anyway, it's warm out there, and according to the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, it's going to continue to be warm. So we'll go over that here shortly. Hope everybody had a great Father's Day. I know I had a great one. It was interesting anyway. Woke up yesterday morning, decided whether I need to work on the tractor, water the garden, or mow the yard. So I started watering the garden, then I got on the mower and mowed in the areas where it wasn't too wet to mow. Stopped there. We decided to go to come to Elk City to the softball complex and watch Miss Rain Ripito do her thing on the softball field. And I'm telling you what, she's always been a favorite person of mine. She's just cool. She's yes ma'am, no ma'am, talks quiet, doesn't raise any cane unless Ruger gets on her nerves or something like that. You never see you arguing with your mom and dad in public anyway. But anyway, she's a cool kid. Anyway, she played second, third, everywhere the first game that she pitched. She pitched a great game on the second one. And one of the deals that I remembered that her mom, I call her KSPN on Facebook, Kelly, posted one of the deals where she was pitching to a young lady on the other team, traveling team from Oklahoma City. She threw her strike, missed the girl, missed the bunt, and then second one blew a pitch by her, just, and she missed it. And then the third one, she did her changeup, and that changeup come in there, dropped in there perfectly for a strike, and it was slow. It was a slow pitch, and she got her looking, and the coach from Oklahoma City, he walked by Rain. I knew he said something to her, and I asked Rain after the game what she said. She said, that coach told me that was a nasty pitch. Anyway, and it was. Had a good time there. And then we went and checked the cows out west of town, made sure the water was good because they're on tank water with solar panel. Everything's good there. And I will tell you that deal that I put out early last week, I believe, or the previous week on the fly spray, is still working after 9 days. Yes, they have a few flies on them, but they're not covered up because I had a friend call this morning for that recipe because he said the flies were eating his cattle up, and they are bad. And combined with his heat and a little bit of humidity every now and then, the cows are having a miserable time right now. So anyway, they're still doing good. Went home, finished mowing, and then my wife informs me that the dogs asked to go to the river for Father's Day. Now, I don't know how she communicates with my dogs, but anyway, I got the hint. So we loaded up the dogs and the Ranger and went down to the river, and River's running still, the North Fork of the Red River still running pretty decent, and went down there, hung out for a while, come back, watched Top Gun, because I'm going to see Top Gun 2 this week. I wanted to refresh it. And even Sandy sat there and watched it with me, because I was saying something or doing something at one part of the movie, and she told me, shut up. That was her favorite part of the movie, so I was quiet. I zipped my lips and went from there. And then that was it. That was my Father's Day, all wrapped up in one. Our text line is wide open, the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. If you want to share something about Father's Day, whether you're a father or you shared it with your father, be glad to talk about it on the show today. Got a pretty easy show going on today. Meanwhile, and tomorrow, just want everybody to remember, tomorrow Greg Hartman from the Beckham County OSU Extension Office is going to be on here. We're going to talk, one thing for sure, we're going to talk heat stress, because I know we've had a lot of hot summers and all this, but this is just a weird summer. We've had a weird year. So anyway, be sure and tune in tomorrow, and Greg will be here, and we'll be talking about heat stress. I'm probably going to hammer him on some garden stuff and some everything else, because I've noticed the bugs are showing up. The whether they be squash bugs, aphids, there was a bumblebee in my backyard that I've never seen in Oklahoma that I'm still trying to identify. It was bigger than a bumblebee, and it wasn't one of those wood ones, but this thing was different, and it had a mean stinger on it. So anyway, I'm trying to still identify what's going on there. Have seen a few blister bugs in the around the garden. Not bad. They're not been on the plants. I sprayed that Nature's stuff on my garden a couple days ago, Sure Grow, and there's been not one bug in my garden so far, and I got a pretty good sized garden, so it's working good. And when you put that B vitamin in your fertilizer, that B vitamin is supposed to let the it's supposed to get the bad bugs and leave the good bugs alone. It gets anything that bites into your plants, and squash bugs are here. If you follow the Oklahoma Gardening on Facebook, it's squash bugs are here in full force. I didn't know this. I will tell you, here's your Jimmy tip of the day on the gardening. If you find the leaves on your squash plants or whatever, your pumpkins or whatever, and you find the leaf has got all the eggs on it, instead of cutting that leaf off and damaging the plant, if you don't want to, you can take a piece of duct tape, stick on the back of that leaf, and it'll get all the eggs and peel it off, and you can dispose of the piece of duct tape. Just I learned this in the last few days, and it's smart. I'm surprised I didn't think of it. Well, let's check out some of, first of all, let's check out some grain markets, and then we'll come back with the livestock. I got the livestock reports from Texas and Oklahoma from last week with sale barn receipts. Right now, futures on corn, July 784, September 737, December 731. Soybeans, July 1702, August 1622, September 1554. Come down here to soybean meal, July is 438, and that's per short ton, $438 per short ton. Soybean meal for August, 422, September, 411. Soybean oil, July, 73.79, August, 72.26. Soybean oil, 71.63 for September. Hard red winter wheat, July, $11.05. September, $11.12. Oats, just in there, they're actually up a little bit today. July oats is 664 and September is 623. Cotton is down slightly, but July on the futures 143, October is 125. Let's see what the cash grain prices are in Oklahoma and Texas as of an hour ago. Hard red winter wheat cash price is at 1044, corn's at 845, milo's at 773, and soybeans are at 1607. I don't have any reports from successful farming today because of the holiday today, but I will get you updated tomorrow. When we come back after this break, I will have livestock report for you. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisci, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisci, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers, and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Come on, there you go. My computer wasn't acting fast enough for me. 92 degrees currently at the Muznet here in Elk City, 94 on the heat index, 42% humidity, and again, I just changed. I caught it. I've been waiting for it to get 90. At our studio, it's actually 90 degrees, according to the Gabe temperature, whatever you want to call this gadget. Anyway, he's got a cool gadget in here now that we can just look up in front of us while we're on the show. It's all cool. But, not going to ruin the movie, but you finally get to meet Penny. Okay. I knew there's going to be something out there. All right. Tell you what I'm going to do. I had a bunch of requests on the text line for the recipe. I'm going to go over this one more time. And so get your pencil and pen ready. And here in just a few minutes, I'll give you this recipe. Because I actually posted it on our Facebook page, whenever that was, Friday before last. But anyway, I'll post it again. FYI, I am not liable for anything that happens. But I've sprayed all my cattle, and nothing's happened, and it shouldn't happen anyway. So here in a few minutes, get your pencil and pen ready, and I will give you that recipe again. Worked out good for me. Actually, coming up, July the 15th. At the Sayre City Park is the KECO 96.5 First Annual Wild Plum Jam 2022. This all is taken to coincide with all the things that the Sayre Chamber of Commerce and Hutch's C-Stores are doing for the Dust Bowl weekend, for the whole weekend at Sayre. It's going to be a great time at Sayre. Last year was their first year. It was actually really pretty good last year, but this year it's going to be good. They've got their they just got things going their way and something different going on. But at the Wild Plum Jam, it'll be from noon to midnight Friday, July 15th, 2022 at the Sayre City Park. Stoney LaRue, Tyler Wilhelm, Michael Martin Murphy, Joe Merrick, Even Money, Ragland. They'll be your bands. That's a great set of music going to be. That's just going to be awesome out there. And our own KECO 96.5 Backroads host, Drew Cobb. My man, Drew Cobb. He is actually going to be emceeing that, so it's going to be fun. If Drew's up on stage, you need to be paying attention because something's going to happen. Anyway, they're going to have food trucks, vendors, adult beverages, free swimming. Admission is $50 per person. That's for all day. Kids under 12, free with an adult. Get your wild plum jam and homemade biscuits from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday evening. Buy tickets at any Hutch's C-Store location or may be purchased online at sarahchamber.org or at the gate. Only tickets purchased at Hutch's C-Stores will be entered in the first annual Sweet and Juicy Sweepstakes. Cash and prizes will be given away all afternoon through the jam, but you must be present to win. So there you go. That's going to be fun. And then the next day, all the farmers and the wannabe cowboys and all that other stuff was going to be there showing up for the parade. Last year's parade was awesome, and I'll actually be emceeing the parade this year. And it should be a great time. There'll be vendors and stuff out at the city park on Saturday. Vegetables, this. Last year we were set up selling vegetables, and let me rephrase this. I was set up selling vegetables, even though my wife sold them when I went over to the clubhouse for a fresh refreshment. And then she had her essential oils, and then right behind us was North Fork Electric Co-op, and then right across the deal from them was the blacksmiths and stuff from over here at Elk City. But we were just one of tens of 20s of people there. And anyway, it was a good time, and this year's going to be bigger. So put that on your calendar, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. And I believe it's not 100% confirmed. I've been working on it. Gary McManus, the Oklahoma State climatologist, is going to be putting on a show at the golf course clubhouse on the banquet side and doing a deal on what caused the dust bowls, the effects of the dust bowl, and the whole nine yards. So it should be really interesting. Now it'll be all free to the public and the whole. Anyway, so it's going to be a fun time. But remember, July 15th will be the KECO 96.5 First Annual Wild Plum Jam 2022 at Sarah. Get your tickets at any Hutch's C-Store in Oklahoma. Not Elk City, not Sarah, any C-Store in Oklahoma. Be a great time. And you'll be eligible for drawing if you buy them at Hutch's. So there you have it. All right. Let's do some livestock. You want to? First of all, let's check out the going the wrong direction here. Come on. Right turn, left turn, Clyde. Right turn, Clyde. I got it. Anyway, live cattle are up today, June 138.02. August 136.57, October 142.42, live cattle for December 148.07. Feeder cattle, August 172.95, September 174.80, lean hogs, July 111 even, August 107.87, and October is 93.70, and that's on your deal. And then, of course, I just seen a text come up on my phone. He's probably mad at me because when I was talking about the commodities, I didn't mention sugar. Well, here you go, Bill Dance. Sugar's at down. It's below 19 cents a pound. So something's going wrong out there at Delhi. 18.6. There you go. And it looks like oil is hanging around $1.10. And natural gas, 671. Man, it's dropped. It was almost $9. It's dropped. Natural gas for August, 668. Natural gas for September, 665. Here's the thing that I heard a gentleman say this morning at the round table at the Southbound convenience store. Is it's funny that when natural gas was up there almost at $10 there, and $8, $9, $10 for about a month, fertilizer was dropping, and when earlier when gas was $3.50, fertilizer was $1,200 a ton, and now it's dropped back down to, I think the latest I've heard, $600-$700 a ton. I don't know. You just think about it. Not a conspiracy, but it just tells me that maybe some of these fertilizer suppliers, not our local ones, the guys that actually produce the fertilizer, were taking advantage of the market, because most of your urea is made from natural gas. And it was crazy. It was $1,200 a ton, $1,100 a ton. And now natural gas was up there around $8, $9, $10, and fertilizer wasn't quite half what it was, but it's still down cheaper, but it's still expensive at $600 and $700 a ton. So it just makes you wonder what's really going on out there, if some of these manufacturers are just taking advantage of the moments. And you hear me read these reports every start of the show where, you know, wheat was $9 and then it was $11 just because Russia said they're not going to let Ukraine have this and that. Just the media, social media, and reporting nowadays make markets change in 5 minutes flat. And I don't know if that's good or bad. It's actually not good as far as I'm concerned. Let's see here. Texas and Oklahoma weekly livestock report. In Texas, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were steady to $2 higher. Trade activity was light to moderate on moderate demand. Extreme heat plagues the already drought-stricken area with triple-digit temperatures. Supply included 71% feeder cattle, 26% slaughter cattle, and 4% replacement cattle. And here's not even deal. Okay, well, their report went kablank on me. Anyway, looks like the Texas report's messed up. Sorry about that. But here we go with the whole report's messed up now. But I'm still going to go over Oklahoma's. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers steady to $3 higher with very good demand. Cattle futures began the week sharply lower following declining economic indicators. However, the market can't get away from the thought of summer with lighter available feeder numbers and the current status of the feed yards. Steer calves $3 to $5 lower. Heifer calves steady to $2 lower. Demand moderate as high heat and humidity move across much of the country. Slaughter cows $6 to $7 higher. That's true. Slaughter bulls $1 to $2 higher. Demand extremely good for cows and bulls, are limited numbers seen to be ruling the market as well. Supply included in Oklahoma 89% feeder cattle, 9% slaughter cattle, and 3% replacement cattle. There we go. This is a little better. Total receipts for Oklahoma last week was 26,653 head compared to the week before, 28,336. And that was 35,919 head of cattle sold on the market last week, this time last year. So there you go. Well, when I get back, I got some peanut news, I got some cotton news, and I got some cattle news. We'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 10th. 884 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 325 brought 210. 5 at 542 brought 178. 7 at 593 brought 177.50. 4 at 758 brought 158.50. 3 at 1,007 brought 141. 4 head of heifers at 274 brought 510. 3 at 450 brought 176. 13 at 494 brought 165. 3 at 533 brought 171. 13 at 597 brought 163.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 106. Butcher bulls brought 9250 to 116. Bred cows were 810 to 1575. Pairs brought 1100 to 1900. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs. to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right, you guys got your pen and pencil ready? I'm getting ready to give you this recipe one more time. And if you don't get it all down, just go look on Facebook from, it was a week ago Friday. All right. One small bottle of pine salt. 1 gallon of white vinegar. This is for a 2 gallons pump-up sprayer. So adjust if you go to a 1 gallon sprayer, half. One bottle of Dawn dish soap, original. I use blue because it's pretty. Anyway, and that was a small bottle. And then 1 cup of, however you say that, permethrin, however you say that, the fly stuff. Anyway, you mix all that in. Top it off with water, shake it up real good, and you spray their face, and it worked. That's all I can tell you. I caked my cows, and I went through there spraying them. You know, cattle don't like to be sprayed with them fine mist, but I finally got them. The calves that I couldn't catch, I made sure I sprayed the mamas on the sides, so if the calves, when they rubbed up there, getting them some milk, it rubbed off on them a little bit. But I think the key thing is, one person even said you don't even have to put the fly spray in there because the dish, the Dawn and the pine salt and vinegar just keep the flies off of them for a while. And one of those, anyway, it worked great. I'm just telling you, it was simple, worked great. And if you can, spray their faces if you need to. If you have black cattle, really don't have to worry about it. But white-faced cattle, it'll, you know, flies are one of the reasons why you get pink eye. And then I have a person text in and ask, does anyone know of anywheres like Tractor Supply or Atwoods or that has peach trees for sale? So if anybody knows of where any peach trees are for sale, please text into the text line 580-225-9697 if you know anywhere you can buy peach trees. There's a really good tree farm over at Clinton. I don't know, is that Riverside or whatever it is, but might check with them. But if anybody knows where there's any peach trees for sale, please text that in to me. And thank you for asking. All right, let's see here. Where do we want to go? Let's check on the drought monitor for right now. The drought monitor came out last week, and I hadn't had a chance to talk about it. And just looking at it, Oklahoma is looking better, but we're still in a D2. Most of western Oklahoma is still in a D2, D1. And we got them going on. The Oklahoma Panhandle is not as red as it was the week prior, so that's good. They've been getting some rain up there. But, man, poor New Mexico and basically central Texas, western Texas is all in a D4, D3 to D4. And California, Arizona, Utah, Nevada, and parts of southern Colorado are in a D3 and D4 and D2. The Dakotas looks great. I mean, North Dakota has no drought going on, and that's they needed that. 2 years of solid drought going on up there. Kansas, southwestern Kansas is still in a D3, and that's right in the heart of the wheat belt. So that was going on. Everything, I mean, parts of the country are improving, parts of them aren't. So anyway, that's your drought monitor hookup here. Let's see what we got going on. Oh, I was going to talk about the peanuts. Brian, my peanut buddies were holding out on me. I didn't know. And as a matter of fact, I seen a picture where they had a picture of the crowd that was in there getting ready for the expo to start. And there's a picture of Greg Hartman in there from the Beckham County OSU Extension Office. Anyway, maybe he'll have some other stuff to talk about. But anyway, the Oklahoma peanut industry may be small, but what it lacks in size, it makes up in yields and quality. In the last 9 years, our acres have dropped, but we've stabilized to about 15,000 acres, according to Ron Schaller, executive director for the Oklahoma Peanut Commission at the 2022 Peanut Expo that was over in Weatherford. It's not what we'd like to be, but we're producing 15,000 acres of good, high-quality peanuts on a consistent basis. 3 out of the last 5 years are the highest peanut yields ever produced in Oklahoma. Yields have improved almost a ton per acre. That's 2,000 pounds better than what they normally used to do. And that's great. He said at the expo, some producers reported yields of 5,000 to 6,000 tons per acre. And I'm going to go with the 5,000 to 6,000 pounds, not the tons, misprint here in their article, per acre. If they was doing tons, Brian Silk would be at the lake every day, and I'm sure Bandy wouldn't be too far behind him. Matter of fact, talking about Bandy, Bandy's on the radio more than I am nowadays when he did that commercial for Mickey Lively. So anyway, kind of jealous. Anyway, some hires, Schaller credits better varieties, more irrigation, better management, and more attention to the crop. There's a lot of improvement going on. It said it boiled down to 4 areas, research, superior varieties, commitment, and partnership. We don't have a large peanut team anymore, but we have a great peanut team, he says, a great small team. We don't have an extension research pathologist, but OSU, Oklahoma State University, is working on that. So we are grateful for the partnerships right now between our peanut growers and our research team at OSU. He said when he started peanuts was more than 40 years ago, he said the Flow Runner was the primary runner peanut variety being grown. Then it was OK Run. Then it was Tam Run, 96. Today, even better varieties are available to growers. Dr. Chamberlain, USDA ARS, has released high varieties in the Runner, Spanish, and Virginia market types, all of which are so much better than what we've had before. And then there are commercial varieties that are superior to what have been available. That's no small thing to say. He said in 2021, many growers made 5,000 pounds per acre, not tons, but pounds, which at one time would have been a lie if someone had told me they made 5,000 to 6,000 pounds, he said. Today we even have a few growers hitting the 7,000 pound per acre. That's a lot of peanuts. Routinely, Oklahoma peanut grades run in the high 70s. When growers had to plant now is better than what they had in the past, and that has made a huge contribution to the improvement of these yields. Les Krall, chairman of both the Oklahoma Peanut Commission and the National Peanut Board, discussed some of the findings of the research that they've been doing. Peanuts are not the most common food allergy, but they are included in the top 8 most common food allergies. Less than 1% of the people have a peanut allergy. The LEAP study said that a baby's chance of developing a peanut allergy is reduced 86% by feeding them small amounts of peanut butter or peanut foods. Peanut foods as early as 4 to 6 months. So we can really change people's lives with early introduction of peanuts and not wait till you're 16 years old before you have your first fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Anyway, it looks like they had a really good turnout over there. And when Greg comes in tomorrow, we'll have you some more updates on what was going on. I got some stuff on cotton for you guys that are interested in cotton. I'm going to give you a little update on net export sales for the week ending on June 9th was 28,200 bales, and these are 480-pound bales, a marketing year low. This brings the total of the 2021-22 sales to about 16.5 million bales of cotton. Total sales at the same point in 2021 marketing year was at 17.3 million bales. Total new crop for the 2022-23 sales are at 3.9 million bales. Shipments for the week were 352,800 bales, bringing total exports to date to 11.5 million bales of cotton, compared with 14.2 million bales at the comparable point in 2021 marketing year. That's quite a bit. That's not about 2.7 million, somewhere in there, bales less. With less than 2 months remaining in the marketing year, weekly shipments must average about 461,400 bales to reach the USDA projection of 14.8 million bales. So, there you go. Well, when you come back, I have a little more stuff to talk about on cotton, and we will also have something on some more cattle coming up. So, stand by. We'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, June the 14th, we sold 778 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, June the 16th, we sold 2,044 calves and feeders for a total of 2,822 cattle for the week. Great killing and bull market, cow and bull market. Tuesday, better killing cows, 94 to 102. Then cows brought 46 to 89, bulls brought 99 to 123.50. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1100 to 1350, or 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 950 to 1250. 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1060 to 1475, and our 9 and older pairs, 1125 to 1460. Hunter steer cattle, 3 to 4 weight steers, 199 to 211, 4 to 450, 186 to 203, 5 to 550, 182 to 184, 6 to 650, 174 to 177, 7 to 750, 162 to 170, 8 to 850, 156 to 163, 9 to 950 steers, 149 to 158.50. Feeders were steady to 5 higher, calves 2 to 6 higher. Hunter heifers, 4 to 450 heifers, 175 to 179, 5 to 550, 173 to 181, 6 to 650, 156 to 167, 7 to 750, 152 to 159 and a quarter, 750 to 8 weight heifers, 148 to 149, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 132 to 137.50. For this Tuesday, June the 21st, we will have 50 bred cows and pairs. We've got 20 other older pairs, 10 nice young pairs. Give us a call, The only week we ever shut down in the summer is the week of the 4th of July, so no sale Tuesday, July the 5th, no sale Thursday, July the 7th. We'll see you this Tuesday, Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
93 is our current temperature. Actually, at our studio, it went back down to 89. So anyway, heat index is at 95. Humidity is 40%. Winds are south, 22 miles an hour, with wind gust up to 27. Today, mostly sunny, 94 degrees, with the wind kind of in the area where it's at now, anywhere from 16 to 20 miles an hour, with higher wind gust. Tonight, 73 for a low. Mostly sunny. Tomorrow, 96. Tomorrow night, 71, partly cloudy. Wednesday, 96. Thursday, it's got the hot temperature gauge right in the middle of the sun, so it's going to be hot. 98. Friday, 101. And I checked the Weather Channel Long Ranger forecast out a while ago before the show started. There's a few chances popping up later next week, and that's a long time out. I don't know if they do that just to give us farmers and ranchers hope, and then it's disappointing when that week starts when where did the raindrop forecast go. But anyway, according to my deal, 20-30% chance already popping up later next week. Oh, we'll see what happens. Anyway, I'm getting some reports from the field, which is awesome. So one of them comes from Bill Dance. He beat me. I had a double puncture on my deer horn shed, antler shed. He got three holes with his. So anyway, it's really not funny, but it is coming from him, since he's always trying to outdo me. And he did. He got three of them. Maybe four, actually, if you look at it. I know the one that's biting into the lug probably isn't going to cause a flap, but those three sticking in his tractor, it got him. Anyway, and he also is reporting that they started on their last circle of rye and doing really good. So, anyway, the rye is doing really good. Anyway, I didn't give out that. I won't give out the information. But anyway, my father-in-law from up around Billings, he gave me a report on, they come in there and knocked out two quarters of wheat on him yesterday. And let's see here, what did it say? If I can read it, I was listening to it. Anyway, their wheat up there around Billings, Sandy's dad, it was testing almost 12.5 on protein, 62 on weight. And the other field, they haven't finished getting, they got two more semi-loads coming out of it, headed to the, probably already there now. Testing 64. So anyway, the wheat there making around 55 to 60 bushels. They got a rain in Oklahoma right there, right before Easter, that saved them. We didn't get that rain, obviously, and I know we're doing well to do 20-25 around here. We'll spot it better, but there's also spots that do worse. And anyway, they did really good up there, so we got some good spots coming up there. Okay, I got to get this in there because I wanted to do it Friday. I told you guys I was going to do a recipe on beef. And as a matter of fact, all those beefs that we brought in for me that I sold to some friends and neighbors around me all were got cut up Saturday. So they're already headed there to pick it up. Candied brisket burn ends. Bill Dance, listen, because you make a bad-to-the-bone brisket, but I want you to think about making this. In this picture, in the plate, we got them with red onions, pickles, and jalapeno peppers around it, you know, just munch on. But what caught my attention next to it was the fried taters. Kind of looked like the ones they got at the Pack Saddle Bar, but not quite. But anyway, fried taters and candied brisket burnt ends. And here's your recipe. One beef brisket point, moist, 5 to 7 pounds. 1.5 teaspoon of salt. 1.5 teaspoon, of course, black pepper. Barbecue sauce. This is homemade barbecue sauce. Listen up. 2 cups of ketchup, 1/4 cup of yellow mustard, quarter cup of brown sugar, quarter cup of molasses, quarter cup of apple cider vinegar, quarter cup of honey, half teaspoon of salt, again, this is for your barbecue sauce though, and a half a teaspoon, of course, black pepper. Step one, season the brisket point generously. Season it with salt and pepper. Lightly coat grates with vegetable oil spray. Close cooking chamber lids. Step three, place 3 to 5 pounds of charcoal in the center of your firebox. Open the firebox air vent approximately 1 to 2 inches. Smoke it away. Once coals have ashed over, add wood chunks. Do not shut the firebox lid until the smoke is clean, often called blue smoke. Close the firebox lid, adjust the firebox air vent and smokestack damper. Regulate cooking temperature to 225 degrees. That's where you want to be at, all right? Place the brisket point on the cooking grate, fat side up, in the cooking chamber. Maintain a consistent cooking temperature by adding wood chunks as needed. Monitor the internal temperature of the brisket point till it reaches 185 degrees, which is about 6 to 8 hours. Meanwhile, in that medium bowl, mix your barbecue sauce ingredients up and store in the refrigerator until ready to use. Remove the brisket from the smoker, cube the brisket point up into 1-inch chunks, and place it in a single layer in an aluminum pan. Toss in some barbecue sauce. Return brisket chunks, or your cubes, into the aluminum pan to smoker and cook at 225 degrees until caramelized, approximately 2.5 to 3 hours. So that's anywhere from 6 to 9 to 12 hours, basically 9 to 12 hours of making this brisket, but man, it looks good. Anyway, I know you guys don't want the nutrition value on it. Doesn't matter. The stuff looks good. So anyway, there's your recipe that I was supposed to do that from the weeks. And yes, sir, T&W Tires can fix your tires over there. But also, there was a jug of something on top of that tire. They're fixing their tires on their own. So anyway, a lot of people got sorghum in the fields this year. Planted some sorghum for hay or cover crops or whatever. But the sugarcane aphids are on the rise again in central Texas through the Texas Panhandle. And I've seen them in western Oklahoma. So anyway, if you're doing this for sorghum and grain to mulch up into hay, wet hay, whatever you're doing, keep an eye out for them, because that one field north of my field 2 years ago, I never seen anything get destroyed, and this is under a pivot, and it's a big pivot, destroyed so fast as when those sugarcane aphids come in there and just totally almost wipe that field out before you get the cutters in there and get it done. But just be on the lookout for that. There's a lot of people, like I said, planted sorghums this year, so it's on the rise, especially in central Texas already. So keep an eye out for that. Also, keep an eye out for thieving. With inflation going up, fuel crazy like it is, and everything else crazy like it is, with my Texas and Southwestern cattlemen's deal I get, and from what I've been hearing, anything from horse saddles to trailers to cattle to horses to show calves, they're stealing anything. So keep an eye out for your stuff. Secure your stuff and just keep an eye out for people that don't belong in the neighborhood. This is like where I live at. There's only 5 landowners on that whole 4 miles of road. And besides deer season, I could tell if somebody out of the ordinary doesn't. I mean, everybody has a right to drive down a county road, but what's the reasoning for being out there? So anyway, keep an eye out for that, and it'll all be all right. Mexican cattle imports are lower. April livestock trade data showed that total cattle imports were 124,778 head from Mexico. That's down 30% from last year, which is good. Year to date through April, total cattle imports were 595,286 head, which is down 9.6% from the same period in 2021. The slower pace to cattle imports is due to lower shipments from Mexico, which continued to run below last year's levels. Through the first 4 months of the year, shipments from Mexico were 303,000 head, and that's down 32% from last year. On the other hand, cattle imports from Canada this year have been tracking above last year's levels by 40% through first 4 months, which totaled 292,000 head that came across the border from Canada. Drought has likely been contributing factor to changes in cattle flow, as North America is now in its third year of drought, as much of the western United States grapples with drought conditions impacting the cattle herd and available feed and forage supplies. Western Canada and northern Mexico are dealing with similar issues, according to the latest North American Drought Monitor released here last week. So that could be contributed. The most recent USDA FAS forecast has total U.S. imports at 1.985 million head for this year, which is up 11.8% or 210,000 head. For Mexico, the USDA FAS forecast is expecting levels to be below last year, while shipments from Canada are expected to be higher, as if they are so far already. So there you go on your imports. No. For some of you conspiracy theorists, I don't have anything from Brazil. I gave you the total there, so go with it. Let's see what's going on. The Lower Food and Fuel Cost Act passed in the House over the weekend, Friday. It passed, and which was led Democrat authors say will help address supply chain risk, lower the cost of food and gas prices, strengthen the food supply chain, and ensure robust competition in the meat and poultry sector. In a statement of the administration policy and the support of the bill, the administration notes that farmers today are squeezed between concentrated market power in the agriculture input industries, be it seed, fertilizer, feed, or equipment suppliers, and concentrated market power in the channels for supplying agriculture products. As a result, American farmers share the value of their agriculture products has decreased, and they often struggle to make sustainable returns. And it is tough out there right now. I mean, the market's good, but so is your inputs. They're stupid high. Well, one of the things in this package that has really started raise Cain, because they threw it in this package, is a Special Meat Investigator Act. Although many of the provisions included in this package did have bipartisan support, some Republican and agriculture groups expressed disappointment that the bill contained the Meat and Poultry Special Investigator Act, which, when passed out of committee, only received Democrat support. The Special Investigator Sector of the Lower Food and Fuel Cost Act would create a new position in the USDA to investigate broad anti-competitive matters. The new USDA Special Investigator will focus on preventing shortages, enforcing American antitrust laws, which should have been already enforced, and holding back bad actors in the meat industry accountable, explains lead sponsor Representative Spangberger, Democrat out of Virginia. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association was disappointed for the bill's inclusion in the larger package. Rising food, fuel, and fertilizer prices are hurting cattle producers around the country, but Congress is relentlessly focused on political posturing through the special investigator bill, according to the NCBA Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane. So there you go. Well, it's time for me to leave. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Tomorrow, Greg Hartman will be on. Wednesday, maybe. Don't count on it. But I think I'm going to have the owner and operator of the feedlot with the cattle. One of the feedlots that cattle died last week during the heat deal, and the vet. So anyway, to clear up all this drama and fake news you're hearing on social media. Today in Ag, Jimmy Clark on 96.5.
Kick it into overdrive.
Cool.
This is KECO, Elk City.